Please take your Bibles, turn with us to the book of 1 Timothy, book of 1 Timothy, third chapter. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. Chapter 3, 1 Timothy, right at verse 1 through verse 13, we find him giving the qualifications of elders and deacons. We are not going to read that portion of Scripture, but that's what he has just finished doing as we pick up the reading in verse number 14. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtst to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Chapter 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some should depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Let us pray. Father, again I thank you for the Bible, the Word of God. Once again tonight, Lord, I certainly do need your help. I just need your power, your wisdom. And Lord, tonight we need above all to honor you, to lift up your name. Lord, to see to it that all folk know how wonderful you are, how good you are, that the very basis of our faith is on Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so tonight, Lord, we ask that you help this preacher to bring forth this message which you've appointed, and Lord, to do so in the power of the Holy Spirit of God, that again, that you will be honored. We'll thank you. Do that which you need to do here tonight, Father, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We find in the verses that I read, we're going to preach a message tonight, what can happen to faith? What can happen to faith? Timothy 1, Timothy 2 gives us some things that God says can happen to faith. We want to be very careful about our faith. God was quite concerned about faith. I'm just going to go over real quickly. We won't spend a lot of time there, but in 1 Thessalonians, if you'll go with me to chapter number 3, I believe, it's been probably a couple years ago, maybe, I don't know, but I preached a message on chapter 3. It's a chapter about faith and God's great concern about faith. And again, we're not going to preach on that tonight, but I want to just kind of give you a little background here. Because in 1 Thessalonians, the third chapter, let me just read there. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. Paul had a great concern here about the Thessalonians' faith. And he said he couldn't even wait. He sent Timotheus there to check on their faith, so that they would be comforted and established in their faith. It's very, very important. And then he noticed, he said that no man should be moved by their afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. And he goes on and he says, for verily when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. Now, if you'll notice there, what he's saying is the faith of God's people is going to be attacked. There's going to be persecution. There's going to be attacks upon the faith of God's people. So Paul was quite concerned about the faith of the Thessalonians. He was concerned about him. And so he sent Timotheus there to help them. In verse number 5, "For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter having tempted you and our labor be in vain." Once again, if you'll notice, it's been their faith has been assaulted. Satan's going to try to attack your faith. He doesn't want you to walk in faith. He doesn't want your faith to grow. He will attack it. He'll do anything he can to hinder your faith. And then he goes on in verse number 6, "But now when Timotheus came unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in our affliction and distress by your faith." Paul said, "I want to tell you, the word that came back to me from Timotheus was that you used was walking in faith." I want to tell you, when we see other folk, other Christians just standing fast in faith, that's a comfort. That's a help. That encourages my heart. Don't encourage your heart. When the brethren are faithful and they just walk with God, and even though some of the great tribulations that people might have, might be going through, but it don't make any difference. They're just standing fast in their faith. Well, that's a comfort. That's a comfort to each and every one of us. It's encouragement to us. You see, when we see people walking in faith. And then, of course, he says for in verse 9, "For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherein we joy for your sakes before our God?" Again, faith brings thanks to God Almighty. That's who our faith's in, and that's who we give thanks for. And he says, "Night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith." We notice also there that faith needs perfected. We need to perfect our faith. We need to strengthen our faith. Amen. And so God says, "No, your faith's not strong enough. You need to perfect it. You need to just keep on building your faith." And then he says, "For God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our ways unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, and to the end ye may be established your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." I'm not going to go through all those things, but what you see in those verses of scripture is faith's results. What happens when a man stands in faith? You see the results of faith there in those scriptures. Now, having said all that, we want to look at faith tonight as what can happen to it. God gives us in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, some things that we want to be very, very careful about. Now, we started off in with verse number 14, but look at verse number 15 of chapter 3. "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtst to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth." Now, what is the pillar and ground of truth? Without controversy, that means it's undeniable. It's indisputable. You see, this truth, the great controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Mystery always speaks in the scriptures about something that maybe was partly hid or completely hid in the past in the scriptures. But we find that God has opened up the mystery of the incarnation of Jesus Christ. He became God in the flesh. And this is a great mystery. Maybe it was alluded to throughout the scriptures, but now it's opened up to us completely and fully. It's no longer a mystery. And not only that, the redemption that Jesus has provided, dying on the cross, all of that, certainly some of the truths was possibly there, but now it's opened up completely, he's saying. And he said, without controversy, it's undeniable, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Amen. Jesus is God in the flesh. And then he says, justified in the spirit. And even here, not only was he manifest in the flesh, but justified in the spirit. The word justified there speaks of vindication. It means that he was vindicated. The works of Christ, the words of Jesus Christ, even God the Father testifying about his Son. He was vindicated. He was justified in the spirit. Amen. And then he says in the spirit, even seen of angels. I think about that and I thought, all the angels of God saw Jesus prepare to leave heaven. I think that's exciting. And I think it's exciting when they was real near. The angels of God was real near when Jesus was born. Amen. Just right outside there, a little ways, you see, from Bethlehem where he was born. The angels ministered to him while he was here on this earth. The angels are always close. They seen Jesus Christ. And then, of course, he says, preached unto the Gentiles. And he's talking about there, of course, they preached unto the Jews. He taught the Jews, but he also preached unto the Gentiles or all nations. I mean, everyone. Everyone can be saved, you see. Jesus preached to all, and he says, believed on in the world. Now, we're not leaving anything out because he says the next thing, it says, received up into glory. What was believed about Jesus Christ? Well, his death, his burial, his resurrection. Believed on in the world, and then he was caught up to heaven. Amen. In glory. Amen. Now, that's the truth. That's the truth of the Word of God, you see. Now, if you'll just, you want to visibly do it or not, but you just like to put your finger over where it says chapter 4. If you have a Scofield Bible, it says something there. It says part 4, and it says the walk of a good minister of Jesus Christ. If you just put your finger over that and imagine that that's not even there, and then you just begin to read, because that's the way the Scripture is. Amen. That's what the Scripture does. It just continues. Man put the chapters in. It's okay. I'm glad they did. That'd be a mess if we try to find something. I'm glad they did, but they wasn't there originally. Okay. So we find that it tells this wonderful truth in verse number 16. And then he says, now the Spirit speaketh expressively. In other words, expressively means that he is something very, very important is going to be said. The Spirit of God is going to say something to us, expressively say something to us, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devil. Well, what's he talking about there? What is he saying? Well, back up in verse 15 and 16, there's those who are going to go against that. They're not going to believe that Jesus was manifest in the flesh, that God was manifest in the flesh. They're not going to believe those things. He was seen of angels, that he was believed on in the world, he was caught up into glory. They're not going to believe those things, you see, and they're going to teach opposite of those things, so you got to watch out. And that's where the first thing, if you'll notice in verse 1, he says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith. What is it that can happen to our faith? Some can depart from it. People can depart from their faith. You see, what they'll do is listen to other teachings rather than the teachings of the Word of God, just like we read up here about who Jesus is and what he's done and all of those things. People will depart from the faith. I want you to go with me over to Galatians for just a few moments, the book of Galatians, chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse number 6. He says, I marvel, verse number 6, chapter 1 of Galatians, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. You see, they've perverted the gospel of Christ. And he says, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Now, you know what that means? I'm trying to say it kindly, but I don't find any way to say it kindly. He says, let him go to hell. It's exactly what it means. You see, the gospel of Christ, Paul even included himself, even if I would preach something other than the true gospel of Jesus Christ, he said, let him be cursed. Let him go to hell. Amen. And he said the same thing, you see, and in verse number 9, and he said before, so shall I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than ye have received, let him be accursed. You see, the true gospel, even if angels would come preach some gospel, which is not another God, which is not the true gospel, it's not truly another gospel, he said, let him go to hell. Let him be accursed. You see why? Because you can't change the gospel. Amen. You just gotta keep the Word of God. You can't depart from the true Word of God. And that's what he's warning about here. There's those who depart from the Word of God, depart from the faith. Now, folks, don't depart from the faith. Keep your faith strong. Believe in Christ. Always believe in him. Believe in the gospel message. Don't ever turn from it. Don't ever walk away from it. It's the gospel message. It's the truth of the Word of God. Don't depart from it. He's saying there's some that could depart from the faith. See, those maybe that was acting like or thinking they was saved or trying to be religious, but they depart from the faith, you see. I don't believe a true God, a child of God, will ever depart from the faith. There's some things they do in this portion of Scripture. But let me say to you, there's those who depart from the faith. I've met people before. You've met people before. They say, oh, yes, I used to believe. I used to go to church. I did this. I did that. But I don't do that anymore. They've departed from the faith. Departed from the Word of God. Amen. So you can depart from the faith. And so he tells us, of course, to watch that expressively, he says, because the Spirit speaketh expressively, in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devil. What are they going to give heed to? They're going to give heed to false teachings. Amen. Now there's one gospel. You know that. One gospel. There isn't any other. There's only one way of salvation. There isn't any other, folks, okay? No other. Don't depart from it. Amen. Don't think you're going to get to heaven another way and walk away from the truth of the Word of God. Can't do it. Impossible. So don't depart from the faith. Let's go back to 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter, and verse number 8. Well, I'm going to start reading. I'm going to start reading verse number 1 of the 5th chapter. It said, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren. The elder women as mothers, and the younger as sisters, with all purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home, to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable for God. What God is saying there, if you've got widow have children or nephews, in other words, if you've got relatives, who's supposed to take care of these widows? Family's supposed to take care of these widows. Now listen to me. The church is supposed to be a blessing to widows. We're supposed to be a blessing to widows. And we're supposed to encourage them and help them. But I want to tell you who is supposed to, according to the Scriptures, take care of the widows is their family. That is who's supposed to take care of them. Amen. You're to see to them. You see to their needs. Make sure they're okay. Take care of them. Now, as I said, we as a church, we want to be a blessing to widows. But I want to tell you, family's responsible. God put it there. Amen. And then he said... In verse number 5, he says, now she that is a widow indeed and desolate, trusteth in God and continueth in supplication and prayers night and day. And she that liveth in but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. In other words, she's not a living example of God's grace. Amen. You know, a widow is expected here. Said they're to trust God, and they're to continue in supplication and prayers night and day. It's talking about here that bringing the widows or caring for the widows as a church. That the church should be sure that a widow is taken care of. But there's some stipulation: who is a widow indeed? Amen. Okay, we'll get there. Amen. And then it says, and these things give in charge that they may be blameless. But listen to what he says. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Now the word infidel there means unbeliever. God says if you don't care for your own and see to it that your own is taken care of, he said you're worse than an infidel. Now listen, the preacher didn't make that up. God said that. God said that. He said you're to care for your own. He said if not, you're an infidel. You know, when I look at that thing, I say, you know what? There's a lot of infidels in America today. They're not taking care of their families. We're supposed to take care of our families. Amen. It's our responsibility to take care of our families. God gave that to us. Multitudes of people won't take care of their own children or their own families. Folks, listen, that's not right. That's not godly. We're to take care and we're to see to their needs. We're to work. We're to do what's necessary. We're to take care of them. It's our responsibility to do that. Well, do you believe that? I mean, isn't that right? Sure it is. That's what God says in his word. See, but you know what? People won't accept God's word. You know, they won't accept all across America today. People won't accept God's word. They don't want to take care of their families. Amen. They want to bring three or four children into the world and what they would call enjoyment of doing so, but then they want to put them off somewhere else. Shame, shame, shame on them. It's their responsibility. They're their children. They're to take care of them. Amen. That's what God would have, you see. And so what he's saying basically here is that the action of faith should follow our belief. And he says, what is happening is if we don't do that, what are we doing? We're denying the faith. No, we're not standing up and saying, I don't believe. We're standing up in life, in actions, and denying the faith in action. when we won't even care for our own. Now, do we deny the faith? You see, it's easy. If you don't be careful, you can fall into this. You can deny the faith. All the people calling themselves Christian, you can deny the faith. You don't be careful. You understand what I'm saying? You see, you're doing so in actions. You see, whatever God says, whatever faith, believe what the Bible says. And God says we're to care for our own. And if not, we're worse than an infidel. Okay, God said that. Now I'm going to go on reading from there, because there's something else God says. You can cast off your first faith. If you'll notice in verse number 9, let not a widow is taken unto the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man. We find here what a widow indeed is, and she's at least 60 years old. If you're going to take her in, remember, he's talking about bringing her into the church. He's talking about the church taking over her needs and watching over, taking care of her, meeting her needs. Down earlier, it said she was destitute. She didn't have anything. And the church needs to take care of her, you see. Well reported of. Why? If she doesn't have what? Doesn't have family, doesn't have a nephew, doesn't have, and he was talking all the way, the extent of even a nephew ought to be taking care of that widow. Amen. Or children, or whoever it is, you take care of the widow. And he says, well reported of for good works. This is what a widow is. Well reported of for good works. If she have brought up children. Now, I don't think that's just talking about have had children. I think it's brought up children in the Lord. If she have lodged strangers. If she have washed the saints' feet. If she has relieved the afflicted. If she has diligently followed every good work. And he talks about the older ladies, the widows there, if they're destitute, we're to take care of them. And then look what he said. He changes subject, not really subjects, but goes to the younger widows. But the younger widows refuse. For when they have begun to wax wanton or restless, is what that word means, against Christ, they'll marry. In other words, there's a widow that becomes a widow at a younger age. And she says, you know what? I want to come into the church. I want the church to take care of me. I'm going to serve the church. I'm going to pray. I'm going to do all of those things that I should do. And I'm going to be a blessing to the church. And I'm just going to pray night and day. And I'm going to do all those things. He says, be careful of that, because that younger lady is probably more than likely going to decide to get married again. Now, he didn't say there's anything wrong with that. Not a thing wrong with that. He's just saying, don't take those younger ones into the church that's become widows as for, not take them into the church, but take them in as care for them as widows. Okay? Listen to what he says. Having damnation, and that means condemnation, because they have cast off their first faith. You see, you can cast off your first faith. In other words, what he's saying, you make some big vow. I think that goes, extends far beyond widows. You can make some big vow, and I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And he says, after a bit, you get caught up in other things. And all at once, you're not doing what you said you would do. That's casting off your first faith. That's what you said you would do. First obligation is to do that which you promised God you would do. And then you just cast that off. What are you going to do? I'm going to do something else. I'm going to go out in the world. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm not going to do what God said to do. And I know God said to do it. See, that's the same thing with a widow lady here. She's a younger widow lady. He says they're not going to stick around too long. They're going to get married. And there was nothing wrong with that. God didn't say there's anything wrong with it. And he goes ahead and says, and he says, with all they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. And here again, you're talking about, see, they was going to come to the church. They was going to do all these things. Well, instead of doing that, didn't have anything to do. So they go out and start busybodying, talking over the fence and gossiping and doing all these things. And you see, he said that's what they'll do. And then he says, I will therefore that younger women marry, bear children, guide the house. I just want to tell you, there's a good outline right there. Woman, you're supposed to get married, you're supposed to bear children, you're supposed to guide the house. Give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproach for them. Good thing. Amen. Supposed to guide the house. Good thing. Amen. It says, for some are already turned aside after Satan. In other words, they followed the temptation that Satan put out there. If any man or woman that believeth hath widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. Now, I'm going to stop there, but do you understand what he's saying? You see, these are, and he said, don't take these younger ladies in. I'm talking about for full care of them, all of that, you see. No, don't do that. Why? Because he said they're going to get restless and they're going to remarry. And it's what he even tells them to do. He said, that's what you ought to do. But if you make this big thing, this is what I'm going to do. I mean, you know, I watch our young people and I talk to our young people. Listen, you make a determination. You're going to serve God. You're going to do it. Now, don't you cast it off, your faith. If that's what God has told you to do, then you do it. And you don't ever quit. There's no quitting place. You understand? You know, most folks don't understand it. We preachers. But I'm going to tell you something. There's temptation to just quit. No, you say, oh, Brother Roth. No, there's temptation to quit. The flesh just sometimes just want to quit. But you can't. You can't quit. You can't cast off your first faith. You got to just go on. Amen. So, you youngsters, you just keep on with God. And don't you walk away. Don't you quit. Amen. Don't you quit. No. Whatever God told you to do, you do it. So you don't cast off that first faith. Okay? So we can cast off our first faith. All right, let's go back now to 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter. I'm going to read starting at verse number 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, and doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railing, evil surmisings. Now listen. Perverse disputing of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. For godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich... And that basically speaks of wanting to be rich. They will, it's their will to be rich, okay? Fall into temptations and a snare and into many foolish, hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Now listen, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. What God's talking about here, he said, many people, you can err from the faith. You can go astray from the faith. What he's talking about here is money. He's talking about riches, causing us to err from the faith, to go astray from the faith. Now, let me say, multitudes get caught up in that. They don't walk with God. They don't do what they should do. Sometimes they're not even faithful to church, but they are faithful to church. They don't do anything for God. They don't sow in. They don't do anything like that. You know why? They've erred from the faith. The making money has become more important to them. Making money. That's what he said. You got to be careful. I want to tell you something, folks. You get in that money trap, you're going to pierce yourself through with many hurts. I mean, it's going to hurt you. It's going to destroy you. You've got to understand that. That's not what this life is all about. It's not all about money. I know you got to make a living. God knows that. I know you got to make a living. God knows you have to have all these things. But you've got to remember something. The priority is to be a servant of God, to walk with God and love him and serve him. That's priority. Amen. You see, if you get all caught up in this other, I'm just telling you, folks, God said it in his word. You get caught up in that, you're going to pierce yourself through with many hurts. Okay? And what happens? Well, you err from the faith. Other things become more important. Other things become more important. Amen? Than God, than faith in Christ and the work of faith. You see, got to be awful careful of that so you can err or be led astray from the faith. Look also at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so-called. I think probably I can illustrate what he talked about when he said, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. God is telling through the Apostle Paul here, Timothy, that what this wonderful faith that God has given you, you keep it in trust. It would be like a bank guard that was guarding a vault. He says, you don't let anybody get in there. You keep it. You be diligent. You watch over it, you see. And he that's what he said is avoiding profane and vain babblings in opposition of science, falsely so called. The word science there speaks of knowledge of any kind. Gnostics, you know, they always thought they was superior in knowledge. And you see, that'll get you in trouble. You see, you become so wise, you become fools. That's what the Bible says. You just got to realize how dumb you are. And then you're pretty smart when you get saved. Amen. You're pretty wise when you get saved. Because I want to tell you, but they think they're smart. See, they've got so much knowledge. And he warns about them. And listen to what he says in the next verse. He says, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. In other words, you can also err from the faith. You can miss the mark of the faith. You see, you think you know everything and all the science and all the knowledge that you have, and you haven't just submitted yourself by faith unto Christ. You see, and you can err from the faith. You see, that's what they did. They was professors, but not possessors. Amen. They talked it, but they didn't have it down here. Amen. See, that's what God is warning about. You can err from the faith, folks. Our faith just got to be in Jesus. I mean, he's it. He's everything. Amen. Boy, just keep a hold of that. There's none like Jesus. He's a Son of God. He's God the Son. He's everything we need. Amen. Is found in him. Amen. So don't err from the faith. There's multitudes in the world today that's erring by the faith. They think they can get saved and get to heaven by all so many different kinds of ways other than through faith in Christ Jesus. So don't err from the faith. Don't miss the mark of faith. Amen. Let's go over in 2 Timothy, second chapter of 2 Timothy. In verse number 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Now folks, in verse number 17, where it says canker, that means like a cancer that just eats. Just eats and eats and eats. It's like a cancer. And he said what they did, they was concerning the truth, they erred, saying the resurrection is past already. And they overthrow the faith of some. What I'm saying is your faith can be overthrown. You have to be careful. I'm serious about this. You have to be very careful. You better be careful who you listen to. You better be careful who you believe. You don't want to believe these two guys that said the resurrection was already passed. The resurrection was not already passed. It overthrew the faith of those folks. They didn't know what to do. What do you mean the resurrection's already passed? I missed it. I want to tell you something. I want you to listen to me, because we just kind of allow this today. We just kind of accept this thing on the eternal security of the believer. We've got multitudes and multitudes across America, all kinds of denominations that do not believe that. That is erring from the faith. And that overthrows the faith of many. And you know, we just accept that a lot of times. We just, you know, okay, well, that's just what they believe. No, that's a blasphemous belief. To think that Jesus Christ would lose someone that he had saved is blasphemous. That's not just another way somebody believes. Hogwash. That's terrible. It's horrible. And it overthrows the faith of many. Multitudes of people today are out there. They don't know where they stand with God. They have no idea where they stand with God. They'll be saved one day and lost the next day. Oh, that's terrible. You see, and you're going to overthrow the faith of many. I don't even know how they live like that. I really don't. How do you live thinking you got to keep yourself instead of God keeping us? You know, I know me well enough. I'd be lost all the time if I had to keep myself. Amen. No, it's God that keeps us. Amen. It's God that keeps us, you see. And so so what happens is they overthrow the faith of many. I just want to say to you, listen, folks, listen, teachers of the Word of God, Sunday school teachers, preachers of the Word of God, we better be careful what we preach. We better know what we're saying. We better teach it as it is. We're going to overthrow the faith of many. Amen. That's why, you know, a person oughtn't to be teaching the Word of God until he knows the Word of God, till he's grounded in the faith. Grounded in the faith, knows what he's talking about, knows what God says in his Word. You know why? You're going to overthrow the faith of many. And boy, the responsibility of a Bible teacher, it is great. Now, you use the teaching, and Sister Nancy, she teaches 2s and 3 years old, done that for years. But you know, that's important. 2s and 3s is where they start getting their foundation. Now, wouldn't that be something if Nancy laid a false foundation for us down there in the 2s and 3s? I know she don't, but I'm just saying, wouldn't that be terrible? Oh, no. And any other Sunday school teacher, they can't come up through this church and then be certain teachings given to them that are against the Scripture. We can't do that. You understand? We just can't do that, you see. You're going to overthrow the faith of many people when you teach false doctrine. So, amen. And I'm saying this. It's good to want to be a teacher, but you better know what you're getting into to be a teacher of the Word of God. We've got some dear folk go down to these nursing homes. And, oh, what a blessing. What a tremendous ministry going down to those nursing homes. Well, I want to just tell you something, though. But, boy, don't they have a responsibility to teach these dear older folk probably in the time of life where they're not going to hear it much more. That they would teach them the truth of the Word of God. You see, so their faith wouldn't be overthrown. God says that people's faith can be overthrown. Amen. We've got to be careful. And then in 2 Timothy, 3rd chapter, verse number 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. You know, there's folk who just are reprobate. Reprobate, word reprobate means tested and found counterfeit. They're reprobates concerning the faith. They haven't the slightest idea what true faith in Christ is. They're all across this country. They're everywhere. Just don't know. But yet they think they know. They withstand the truth of the Word of God, the simple truth of the gospel of Jesus, and they stand against it. They're counterfeits. And I say to you folks, that's reprobate in faith. Don't ever be a reprobate in faith. Love God, walk with God, serve God, believe the gospel. Amen. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something right tonight. I've thought about this when I was preparing for this. Oh, if I wasn't saved, I tell you what, I'd fall on my face. I'd beg God to save me. I know it's the only way to be saved. You don't want to go another day without being saved, being ready to meet God. You don't want to do that. You're taking a horrible chance. I mean, that's a horrible chance you're taking. You see, you read in the papers obituaries every day in the paper. And I look for, you know what I look for in obituaries? I look for young age. No, I really do. I see in my age, I say, oh, well, you know, I'm sorry, but that's just part of life. But when I look for these young age, 38, 37, 45, 40, even up to 50, I look at them and I say, you know, and you find a lot of them. You find a lot of them. And I think, oh my goodness, you don't want to take a chance of that. You want to get saved. You want to make sure you're ready to meet God. Amen. So if your faith is dependent on self, you see, you can depart from the faith. You can depart from that which is true. You can deny the faith. You can deny the faith with your life, the way you live. Amen. And you can cast off the first faith. You see, the vows that you've made. You see to God. That's what you said. That's what you said you would do. Now you've cast it off. You're not doing that. Now that's casting off your faith. Amen. And then, of course, some will be led astray from the faith. They've erred from the faith. And some shall miss the mark concerning the faith. And some shall overthrow the faith of others. Boy, wouldn't that be awful? And then some shall be reprobate concerning the faith. In other words, there's just no truth in them. They're just lost. Reprobates. Don't even want to hear what the Word of God says. Amen. So, you see, if you don't be careful, a lot of things can happen to our faith. Let's be careful. Let's keep a good, strong faith. Amen. I want you to walk with God. I just want your faith to be strong. Every day of your life, just stand in faith. Love God. Walk with God. Serve Him. And just keep on going for God no matter what happens. Just keep doing it. You young people, you're growing up, getting older, but just keep walking with God. Is there going to be troubles? Yes, there's going to be troubles. Is there going to be hard times? Yes, they will. Just keep walking with God. Just keep doing it no matter what. Just keep walking with God. Amen. And God will bless you. Amen. All right. Let's pray. Father, thank you again today for your goodness and your kindness. Thank you for this, Lord, the Word of God concerning faith. Thank you that we have the true foundation of faith in Jesus Christ, our wonderful Lord. Father, it may be someone here tonight, as one of these areas that we covered, maybe is slipping there a little bit, or something's happened in their life that maybe brought them to maybe a place where they maybe might even deny the faith. I don't know, Lord. Maybe they're reprobates. They're not saved. You see, they're not born again, you see. Maybe they're not, they've cast off their faith. Whatever it is, I just pray you take this simple message and use it to your glory and help us to be what we should be. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.